Monday night. Do you know where your Twitter mom's at?
Oh, it's Kiva on Indie News. It's Kiva Artist Interview.
Right now.
On Butterflies
Radio.
Where it's all indie all the time.
Welcome to this week's Butterflies Radio Indie Views Artist Spotlight, featuring Luca. According to her bio on Reverb Nation, Luca, embossed by 60s, 70s style, composed her first songs at the age of 15. Being classically trained most of her life, she enhanced skills by teaching herself guitar. Hitting the music scene for many years, playing guitar and keyboard in a mixture of bands, getting amongst the locals, busking on the streets and open jam nights. After releasing her first EP, March Playing, and touring around the world in 2012, she is back to New York City in the pursuit of playing live and recording new songs. Luca is from Germany, then moved to Australia, then on to the beautiful islands of New Zealand before heading to Argentina, and now she is in the USA in New York City. And I look forward to bringing you this show and the great stories that she has to tell and to share with everyone. She was a great interview. Glad to share her on my week back from the Artist and Music Awards, and I'll share details with you about that on next week's show. Here we go. Here is my artist, or my choice of the night, Kiva's choice of the night, Luca's song Growing Gold, which entered the Butterflies rotation a few weeks back on New Music Monday, which I hope you've been listening to with Janae from Toon Talks.
Thank you.
Luca's sound is described as pop, rock, and experimental, and through talking to her, it's clear that her music is affected by the places that she's visited around the world, and some of the Spanish instruments that she heard a lot in Argentina come into some of her songs. I like that she's kind of embraced the cultures that she's been in and brought that in, along with her own German heritage. And the 60s music influence, you'll hear a story later on about growing up in Germany and how that 60s influence came into her life and how that role is so key in how it affects her music. And now we begin our interview.
Your music, to me, it reminds me of something that would be on one of the Twilight movie soundtracks.
Cool.
And I love the Twilight movies, but for me, their soundtracks, they really give a lot of indie artists chances, and they're very diverse with the music that gets on there. And it took me out of my... I was stuck in my, I love the 80s music and, you know, I'm comfortable there. And it brought me into indie music.
Yeah.
And it really just woke me up to a lot of really great indie artists. So when I heard your music, I was like, this sounds like something I would hear on, you know, one of the Twilight albums. And I put that in the comments. I was like,
yeah,
it sounds like something that would be on one of the Twilight albums. So then when I was, you know, trying to schedule people to have for the next month, I was picking like four of them, and I was like, I want Luca. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, Luca, that's the right name.
Yeah, I was like, I want Luca to be one of my guests.
That's
because
right, yeah.
I like introducing something that's different mm-hmm. to people, and your sound is really different, but I think it's, I don't know, it's... I don't know if spiritual is the right word, but it's very...
Deep, probably.
It is. Yeah. It's deep, and it really makes you think, and you feel the music.
Well, for me, it's really important to keep that unique way and, you know, do something different than other people do, and not trying to change anything, because somehow, like, especially that song just came out of my soul. It's not that I've thought about the song structure, or it just was like this, and I left it, and people said to me, but look, Luca, it doesn't have any chorus, and I said, well, it has four verses, and that's it, and a nice key change in the end, and I was trying to change it, but somehow I couldn't, and I just left it.
And you're talking about Growing Gold,
yeah, Growing
right?
Gold, that song.
And, you know, I hear you, because I'm a writer. That's what I was before I started doing this. And I think when you feel something, you just know when it's right.
Yeah.
And you don't have to follow what society tells you is right or wrong. And I think, like you said, the song comes out of you the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah. So.
And you can't change it. It's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. And, I was happy to go into the studio and do it the way I wanted, and it came out really good.
I think it came out brilliantly, and kudos to you for going into the studio, doing it the way you wanted to do it, and staying true to that.
Yeah.
You know, despite what everybody's saying, and that is what's great about being an indie artist, because you don't have corporations and record labels coming over you saying, no, you can't do it this way. You can stay true to who you are and what the song is.
Yeah, I guess you as an indie artist, you keep your, you share your soul with other people, and that makes you special. And every indie artist is somehow very special, because there's no one behind them directing them to another position. You know, you stay to your own person, and
and
that's who you are, and you're not doing it for money. You just want to share that gift you have, and that's how you just do it. You go to the studio and you record the things and you want to have it done the way you want to have it. And if it's commercial, if it's not commercial, it doesn't matter. You just want to have this thing and share it to the world somehow.
It's not tainted. It's very pure.
Yeah.
And it's pure the way it was supposed to be the whole time. And I think it's so special to the fans. And I had somebody ask me, my dentist, actually, the last time I went into the dentist, he said, "So what is indie music?" And I said, it's really simple. It just means that they don't have a label behind them, you know, telling them what to do. They're no different than any other musician. And a lot of times you'll get better quality music, I think, than what you're going to get with, you know, somebody that's with the major labels, because you're going to get something more unique and something more true. And it's the indie musicians. You can go down to a pub or a club or a listening room and hear them instead of having to go to a big arena. And I think it's much more intimate.
Yeah, the thing is, once you sign up with a label, they want to put you in a mainstream. The thing is, independent music is not mainstream mostly in most cases. So what would happen is that if I would put my song, let's say, Growing Gold, and go with that to a record label, they would change it the way they want it, and it would sound not different to any other music in the radio. They would just let the sound, you know, be similar to another song in the radio you listen to. And that's the thing what happens when artists go with record labels, and most of the cases it's really sad somehow.
It is, because you do turn on the radio and you hear the same song repeated again and again and again, even if it's different artists and different songs. It really is kind of the same song over and over again.
Yeah.
And I do like indie music because you get to hear so many different things. And I like doing A&R because you get in there and you hear genres and you see genres that are so different that you never would have heard before. I discovered ska doing A&R, and I really like ska. And it's nothing I even would have heard of before. So, you know, I'm grateful for that.
I definitely recommend to every artist to stay on this independent way and try somehow to make a living out of it, because it's a kind of, I don't know, do you know this Robert Johnson story?
No, I don't.
Robert Johnson, he got a contract, but it's kind of he sold his soul to the devil. So that's kind of a story that he died with 27, right? No one actually really knows why he died, but there's this kind of story that he sold his soul to the devil. So that's the thing. If you really want to make money and you have your songs and your soul and you go to the record label and they give you money, but somehow it won't make you happy either. It doesn't make you happy at all, because a record label can change your songs in such a way that you're so unsatisfied with it that you just actually want to quit music.
Yeah, they're not yours anymore. They take that away from
you. But those people don't care. And if they're really bad, they really don't care. And they just publish it and that's it.
Next up is the song, "The Devil Has Gone This Way."
All my friends around, heading through the underground. Where do you go? From your heart and soul, you never wanna let it show. What do you know? My love, the devil has gone this way. Misery.
like Butterflies Radio.
Yeah.
You know, some people say, so you're in Florida. The station is based in Florida and Australia, but I'm in Kentucky doing interviews. And then we reach the whole world. Right. And it's amazing that that's something that we can do now, you know, without having to be just in a radio station that you might just reach locally, you know, how far we've come.
So, which Australian city are you based?
Queensland is where Carol's out of. She used to be in Perth, and then they moved to, is Brisbane?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's where she's at in Queensland.
I used to live in Sydney for almost 4 years.
Oh, wow. Did you like it?
Hmm? Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, I know a couple people that live there, and they just love it. My cousin moved there a few years ago. He loves it. I'm jealous of the summer there right now.
It's amazing weather, and just the people are happy.
Yes, I have an artist friend who's down there right now. He's from Vancouver, and he's really enjoying it, and he said that. It's just everybody is happy, and just the mindset and the way things work down there, you know, just the pace and everything. He enjoys that a whole lot.
Yeah, I can imagine Australia is one of the countries I could settle down when I'm getting older, I think.
Yeah, but you've still got some time.
I have some time left, and I need to discover the world somehow and, you know, being curious about.
Now, where are you from, and how did you end up in New York City?
Well, I'm from Germany originally, so I was born near Berlin in a small town. And after high school, I decided to go to Australia to be there for 1 year and just travel and work there. And I liked it so much that I studied there.
Uh-huh.
So that kept me 4 years in the country. And then my visa expired, so I had to decide what to do next. And, I decided always to do music somehow. And I just started traveling. I went to New Zealand through both islands. Then I heard a lot about Argentinian music, so I went to Argentina and checked out the music scene there, and especially to Buenos Aires. And then I came to New York, and I just loved this music scene here so much that I decided to come back this year and just to keep on doing music. And somehow I'm hoping now to get a green card. And but for me, it's really important, no matter where I am, just to keep on creating and, you know.
What a great adventure for you, though.
And, yeah.
And the experiences of getting to feel the music in the different cultures and the different countries and just how the people in those countries do their music. And
It's amazing. I have to say, I'm really influenced by the 60s, 70s music, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would never have expected that the Spanish music, the Spanish sound from Argentina would influence me. But it does. It did somehow. And I can hear it in a couple of my songs.
Yeah.
In some chord changes. And I'm wondering where did get that from?
Where did it come about? And it's funny how those things just work their way into your life and into your sound.
Soul somehow, and, you know, I probably just.
You were meant to go on that journey. That was supposed to be your path.
Probably.
And who knows where else you're supposed to go.
Yeah.
Next up is Flower in Bloom.
Thank you.
And it said your bio on Reverb Nation said that you composed your first songs at 15.
Oh yeah.
Did you study music before then, or did?
I never studied music. Well, I just started, you know, playing guitar with 14, and I had classical training when I was really young as a child, and you know, Germany is mostly based on classical tuition. And and then I started playing guitar, and there were all those songs from the 60s, and with this guitar playing, I started singing, and I really wanted to make an own song, so I just wrote my first songs, really simple chords, and I always wrote in English. I don't know why, it was always hard for me to write a song in German. I never did. So even I was in Germany, and that time I was writing already songs in English and not in German, and so probably that's why I went abroad.
And you probably then kind of knew your path, whether you knew it or not.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Your soul already knew where you were going to go.
Yeah. I was trying after high school to get into the university to study piano, classical piano, but the pre-examinations were so tough, I couldn't get through. It was really strict, and so I failed, and I had to make a new decision, and that was a point where I decided to go to Australia.
I don't know, I kind of like the path you went on. Yeah. I think I would rather learn out in the world than learn in a classroom.
Yeah, it's all about your mind, you know. I'm from a small village, and I had such a small picture of how the world looks like. And when you got a small picture of something, you don't see the opportunities. And once you go out, the world opens, and you see ways and opportunities just open for you. And then you can go there and here, and you have connection here and there. And everything just, you know, is suddenly so clear to you what you want to do. And you know, suddenly you're on the right track and you feel right, although the money is not coming in, but you know that in the future you can make a living out of it. And I believe that I can make a living out of it one day with the things I'm doing. So
you just have to stay the course, and that's the other thing with being an indie artist, you know, that I've talked to so many. They have day jobs and they play the music at night.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
you know, you do that, but you wear so many hats because you have to do the marketing, the merchandising, the music, the promotion.
Yeah.
It's not just playing the music. You have to do so much.
Yeah, there's a lot of organization behind it, and especially to find the right musicians and to organize gigs and the promotion. There's a lot of work behind it, but that's all fun, you know. I love to do it. And if I feel that this is helping me for my purpose of life, then, you know, it makes me happy to do this. So it's all joy.
Next up is the song 55 Avenue.
Thank you.
Now, when you perform,
yeah,
do you do more studio work, or do you perform live more, and do you do it more solo, or do you get a band together? Do you get musicians to play with you? How do you do that?
Well, I always love to have a band together and to play with a band. That's my dream. I mean, I really want to get a band together and just play all my songs with the band, and most of the time I do. But it's sometimes really hard to find places for me to play, especially because I'm in the beginning of my career here in New York, and so I mostly play solo as well. And yeah, but like I said, I prefer to play my music with the band, and I also prefer to play live. But I'm planning to do more studio work and to work on my first album, and yeah, just to get things going, just to do a bit of everything, you know, and I think that makes things good.
Now, when did you release your first EP, March Playing?
That was 2012 in April.
And when do you plan to release your next one?
Probably that will be in September this year, October, September.
I like that, and I found with a lot of artists is that, you know, they work through the winter on the writing, and
yeah,
and then spring comes around and summer, and it's time to release an album and tour.
Yeah, the thing is, when it's summer, the people just go out. I believe that people don't go out so much when it's cold and when it's winter time. They rather stay home and, you know, watch television, and it's just way too cold sometimes to you know, have a live gig and try to get the people in, because they don't really want to go out in this cold weather, and I think that's why musicians play more live in summertime, and
oh yeah,
and then keep the creative part for the winter.
Yeah, you know, stay in when it's cold, and you know, work on the writing and everything. And I think, I don't know, that's why I love spring too. It's the flowers bloom and things are warmer, and it's a rebirth of everything. But yeah, I think it's a rebirth of the musicians and music, and there's, you know, South by Southwest comes out, and it's just so many good things. And I tell everybody, yeah, I'm, you know, I work in the winter, or, you know, I stay at home and do my thing, but in the spring, that's when I go on my tour thing, that's when I go, you know, meet my friends and follow musicians that I do, and go to gigs and
yeah,
and everything. It's my tour of the South or whatever, to go to gigs. I just like spring, and
yeah,
and I think it is new music and all that good stuff.
Yeah, especially festivals in summertime and springtime. And yeah, I think people are just more active when the weather's warm, and they really want to go out. And because this is what musicians, they need fans, you know, they need people watching them. Otherwise, if you play in front of one, two people, you know, it's sometimes really, you know, depressing. But, you know, it doesn't, you know, make me down or something. Of course I played in front of one, two people, but, you know, that's just part of the journey, you know. No one can ever expect to, you know, arrive somewhere and start a career and expect like 100 people. That's not.
Next up is a song called Speed of Life.
Thank you.
Now, growing up in Germany, I don't know how old you are.
I'm 22.
So you grew up there after after the wall came down.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, exactly the time when the wall came down.
So, I don't know. You know, I went to a museum in D.C. with an exchange student of mine not too long ago, and, you know, I saw part of the wall, and I remembered when it came down, and I was in high school, late high school when it came down. So I grew up with there being, you know, East Germany and West Germany.
Yeah.
You grew up with a united Germany, but
yeah, that's right.
Your parents didn't.
They didn't.
Did that have any effect on you?
A huge effect.
Yeah, and how you viewed things and just...
Yeah, the thing is, if you they were imprisoned by this wall, right?
Yeah.
They couldn't go any further than, you know, they couldn't go to the western side, and a lot of things were really primitive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had a nice life there, but it's a completely different life and poor. And once the war was open, many things changed for Germany. Germany actually became a united country again after many years. But the thinking of the people from the western side and the eastern side were completely different. You know, you got the communistic influence, and you got the free, you know, marketing from the USA and then from England, and it were all different world. They were all different worldviews, and I found that when I went to Australia, especially my dad, he couldn't get it. He didn't know why I want to leave the family, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to leave this town. And I said, look, the world is open for me. I can go anywhere I want. And I was always a free woman. I wanted to be free. And and especially when I wanted to stay in Australia, he was really upset. And I see many times that my family doesn't see the opportunities like I see it in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They still think in this little village mind. I don't want to sound too bad, sorry.
No, I know, where things were kind of closed off.
It's a bit hard to explain that, you know, when you're such a long time, when you're imprisoned in this one area and you can't go anywhere, and suddenly the wall breaks, of course, it's such a huge change in life that everything seems so new. And it became normal after 5-10 years, I guess. But still, the mentality is so different. And I have the feeling that East Germans, they are more introverted than West Germans.
Well, they have to be.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I would think, and I don't know, because I have been fortunate to be in a country where I could be free to like the music I liked or the art that I liked, and to have the ability to go to those museums or listen to the music and not be punished for it or to have it kept from me. But I would imagine being somewhere where it was that it would be hard to be open to that because you never had it.
Especially the music didn't come through.
Right.
I mean, look, the thing how it works, when there was a product from the western side, they had to pack it into brown packages so that you cannot see what you're buying. But you knew it was from the western side. Western side was always something good for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there was kind of an underground message. Hey, look, there are new vinyl CDs coming in from the western side. So my dad went to the shop. And they sold those vinyl CDs in this brown packages, right? And you are only allowed to open it at home. because you cannot show the Rolling Stones in the street, right?
Right.
So he bought a vinyl CD and he went home, and so he didn't know what he bought, you know, but he packed it out, and there was it, Eric Clapton, and then he got the next CD, and then he was like, whoa, the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's, you know, and this is how it worked, and you know, and they never, music from the 60s never came through to East Germany, which is kind of really sad. I mean, I think, you know, bands like the Rolling Stones, they never played in East Germany.
Right.
Till 1990, I guess.
I think I remember when the first bands were playing in Germany, you know, as a united Germany, or the first time that the East Germans got to hear all the music that the Western side had gotten to hear.
Yeah.
And just how freeing that had to be, you know, to finally be open to that.
It must have been a huge change. I mean, it wasn't one night. Everyone was sitting in front of the TV, and the announcer was just saying, the wall is open. Half of the country or half of the DDR didn't believe it.
I think that they would have to be afraid to to trust that they could actually go and walk through and be safe.
My parents are born in the 60s, so 62. This is exactly the time when the wall was built. So only knew that area like this, and suddenly they open the wall and they never knew what's behind it. It's like you're going to Marsland or somewhere. If you
it would be a completely different
point of view, right? It's completely shocking.
So have they embraced you and your music, or is it hard for them?
Well, it was pretty hard for me because, well, I'm the only musician in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And, the 60 music, like I said, from the Rolling Stones and Beatles, what influenced me a lot and what changed me a lot didn't get to my parents, not at all. So I really fell in love with music when I listened to the songs and mostly to 60s music. And this makes me kind of, I don't want to say I'm a rebel, but, you know, I thought a bit differently about life, you know. I used to be really snobby in high school, and then I'm suddenly changing my mind, and with this music, you know, kind of revolution for me. Hey, things are not that bad like people say you know. And you don't have to be afraid because this and this could happen. Just do it, you know. Most of the time you're just imagining things, and you know, and it was really hard to tell them I want to be a musician. And especially now in my role, it's really hard to make them to accept this kind of job I have.
Yes.
And I still think they don't think I have a job.
Oh, yeah, because it's not a typical...
Yeah.
I mean, it's even hard for Westerners. For their parents to accept. When I said I wanted to be a writer, my dad, he was the military and very strict. And, you know, he said, you need to get a job where you can make money, and you'll never make money as a writer. He was right, but it's where my passion is, and it's what I love.
Yeah.
And I think there's something about following your bliss and following your heart.
Yeah.
Not just something about making money, and I think parents have trouble really understanding that sometimes.
I remember a conversation with my dad. I was like 14, and I was already sure when I wanted to do something. I wanted to do something with music, I said to him, and he said to me, well, go to high school and be a music teacher. And I said, no, I think I don't want to do it. But, you know, I can imagine having my own, you know, music shop with instruments. And And he said, you won't earn much money with that. And he said, then, you know, you can go to an office and earn better money, you know. And then I said to him, you know, but isn't it better to earn less money but to have a music shop and be happy instead of having more money and be unhappy?
Now the next song is called Last Pine Street Session.
Where is the one place that you have eaten, and what have you eaten there that you would tell someone you have to eat there? It can be anywhere, where you live now, where you've traveled, where you've lived, that if somebody goes there, they just have to go to this place because it's the best thing that you've ever had.
If you go to New Zealand, to mm-hmm. the South Island, there's a town called Queenstown, right? And mm-hmm. there is a shop called Perk Burger, and they make the best burgers ever.
Next up is Sail Away, which I guess most of us would have to do to get down to the islands of New Zealand to get that great burger.
Mm-hmm. God, she knows. You cannot see what Tom is doing to your feet. When you walk with me, your cold dark eyes deceive through the night. You're working hard to make ends meet. Come and walk with me, your love, it's passing your eyes. Your mind fades to the open sea. All we know, all what we see, cannot be the same old fear, same reality. You sail away, you see no horizon. Things will end at the place we meet, where you walk with me. Your life is passing your eyes. Your mind fades to the open sea. Your life is passing your eyes. Your mind fades to the endless sea.
From the road.
All right. So, well, when I think about the road, I especially think about busking, right?
Yeah.
What happened to me in Sydney when I was busking, I met a lot of people, but a lot of people came to me up and invited me to their parties. And I just went with my guitar and played on their parties, right?
But very cool.
But many, many people, and those people turned out to be now friends for my life, for life.
Yes.
So I met a lot of soulmates in the streets. Like this, we were like magnets, right?
Yes.
So this is actually my story for the road.
I think that that's a great thing.
I think the best friends in the streets.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I have met people on Twitter, yeah, and Facebook who I then in turn meet some of them in real life, and I have vacationed with 10 of them at a time, twice. We've gone on vacation together. I drove cross country once, picked a few of them up on the way, and then another time we all flew and met. But I love them like we've been friends for forever, and it was like we were just kind of drawn to each other, like you said, like magnets.
It's like magnets.
I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah. So, you don't know it at the time, right? But when
right.
I'm back, I'm like, wow, we had such a great time. And even when I'm not in Australia, we still in touch and have such a good friendship, right?
Yes.
And we actually met in the streets.
Thank you, Luca, for that great story. And here's the last song of the night, Welcome Home. And then we'll come back with some final words of wisdom from our guest.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe everyone gotta do what he wants to do. If you want to be, you know, a horse trainer, if you want to be an athlete, like if you want to be a swimmer, anything you want to do, just go for it and don't look at the money. I mean, you can become a master out of everything, you know.
Yeah.
Once you're a master, you can make money. And money shouldn't be an object for happiness, or shouldn't be, you know, shouldn't rule your life in such a way that it controls you.
No, it shouldn't, and it shouldn't be the determinant factor in you doing what you love or what you don't love. You know, you should just do what you love. You just should.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing in life, just to do what you want and do not what other people want you to do.
I agree. You know, my dad wanted me to go into the healthcare field, which I am sure I would have been miserable in. Do I make money doing this? No.
Mm.
But I'm happy. I think I am, you know, I did print journalism, and through that I ended up doing the radio thing. And in every aspect of it, I have met some of the greatest people, and
yeah,
you know, I get to hear your story, and I feel like writing is my gift, but I feel like it's a gift for me too, that I get to meet some of the most special people.
Yeah,
ever. I'm lucky. I just feel so lucky to get to do that.
Yeah, I feel lucky as well to, you know, to have this passion and to have this ability to play.
Yeah,
piano.
And that's the way people have to look at it, is that you are lucky. You get a gift to share with everybody, but it's a gift for you too, you know. And that's how I look at it. It's a gift for me to meet the people I meet, but then to get to share that with everybody else too.
Yeah.
It's just a great thing.
It's a great thing, but, you know, people, sometimes I ask myself why you want to share this. And I can't really say, but I have this inner urge, this inner pressure to share this with as much people as possible.
Me too.
No matter what I create, I just want to share it to everyone.
Yeah, if I interviewed somebody, I would not if I met them on the street, I wouldn't just want to keep it to myself.
Yeah.
I really want to share it with everybody. I feel like I need to tell people stories.
Yeah.
They need to be told. Other people need to know these people.
Yeah.
I think it's important.
It's really important. I think it helps people as well.
I want to thank Luca again for taking the time to come onto the show and giving her music to the public and to Butterflies Radio and spending a little time on Indie Views in the Artist Spotlight. And I think I'm going to take a rest because I am pretty sure with my foresight, since this is pre-recorded, that I wore myself out in L.A. at the Artist and Music Awards, but had a great time. So I'll tell you all about that next week. And until then, have a great time. Listen to New Music Monday and listen to some great artists that I'm sure I'll have on my show for you later. Night.